In today's podcast on the Underground Pulpit, I'm reading from 1 Samuel chapter 21 and from verse 8. And David said unto Ahimelech, And is there not here under thine hand spear or sword? For I have neither brought my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste. And the priest said, The sword of Goliath the Philistine, whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah, behold, it is here wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If thou wilt take that, take it, for there is no other save that here. And David said, There is none like that. Give it me. The mixture of feelings David felt as he ran from the safety of his own home and from the courts and the palace of Saul, these feelings must have been varied and very difficult for him at this time and juncture of his life. Undoubtedly, David would have been afraid for his life, afraid because of the danger that was knocking at his door. You think of the anger and the fury and the wrath of Saul that had been manifest in recent times. And so, with good advice and from a warning of a close and a dear friend, David ran for his life. Surely the feeling of fear and being afraid was present with him. Also upset because he did have to leave the familiarity of his home and his friends and his family. And certainly had to leave the friendship of Jonathan. When you read the previous chapters of 1 Samuel, you'll see the very special bond which Jonathan and David had together as friends and those that respected one another and loved and revered the Lord. And maybe also confusion was bubbling away in David's heart and pressing down upon his mind. Confusion because he had seen great victories being established by his own hand. He had seen the defeat of the Philistines. He had seen the conquering of Goliath that we're going to think about very shortly in this passage of scripture. And a confusion as to what would make King Saul act and turn in such a fashion as this. I'm not going to pretend to say that I know all of David's feelings, but I recognize that these would have been present in his life as we come to 1 Samuel chapter 21. Now, certainly not all of David's steps after this moment are going to be the most wise. And there are times when we could only say he plays with the truth in the way in which he speaks and communicates himself. And even then, at the end of the chapter, he pretends to be mad and scrabbles at the door and so on. So all of these things you have to try to understand, put them into a certain context. And it just reminds us of the humanity of David, a man subject to the same passions that we are. What he does in chapter 21, we might say the very next moment after running away for his life, is really instinctive in terms of his actions. He looks for food. He needs to feed himself. No doubt he's hungry after travelling this distance, and he's anticipating certainly being in exile for a time, so there is food which needs to be gathered. And so there is the approach to the priest, and there is the hallowed bread which is received and taken. And again, it's a very difficult context when you think of all the background of the hallowed bread and the rights and wrongs of this. But this was a need. This was a moment where food had to be given. And so we understand why the bread was consumed. But he also desires safety. He wants protection. And he asks for a sword. In verse 8, he says, Is there not here under thine hand spear or sword? Now, he sort of makes up the reason that he's come on the king's business and it requires haste. So he's not telling the truth to Ahimelech. Really, he's run for his life and he didn't have time to gather sword or spear. Maybe didn't even have one of these things in his possession, being in the courts of the king at that time. But most certainly he had his eye on the sword of Goliath all along. He understood that it was here, in a sort of resting place as a token and a monument of victory from past times. And no doubt he had come for bread and food, but he understood that this was where a sword could be found. And so it is this sword which he's then introduced to. And as he's introduced to this sword, we read this exclamation from David that we have in verse 9. And he says, There is none like that. give it me. Such language reminds us and points us to the greater sword that we have. And that's why I want to think of this verse and consider the message, a sword greater than Goliath. If David would react as he recalls and he glances and he puts his eye upon this great sword of Goliath that stood for so much, we might say, for him personally and for the nation collectively, how much should we, when we think of our spiritual sword, which is the word of God, say there is none like this? Give it to me. We know that in the Bible itself, that the word of God describes itself as a sword. You'll know this from Ephesians 6, verse 17, that we are to take up the sword of the Spirit. And Paul says, which is the word of God, not might be or could be. It is the word of God. The Bible describes its own self, this special divine revelation that the Almighty God has given to us as being our sword, the sword of the Spirit. And then we have Hebrews 4:12. We're reminded that the word of God is quick, it's alive, it's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. So it goes above the physical sword which has been fashioned by the skillfulness of any individual. With all this in mind, and if we look at David in this situation, let's draw a few things today for our encouragement and for our edification. First of all, in all of our times, we are to arm ourselves with God's word. David himself makes the admission that he had left. Now, again, the context is different. He says he's on the king's business, which he wasn't, and so he's in haste. But we accept the haste. We accept the speed with which he leaves. He runs. This is the first course of action, we might say, you know, physically for him. But he has left without being armed. He doesn't have a sword. He doesn't have a spear. He doesn't have protection. And so understandably, he felt defenseless, and he felt vulnerable. And he needed to find not just bread for his sustenance and for his physical well-being, but he needed also a sword for his protection. Is not the word of God greater than Goliath's sword in this capacity? It is our bread. It comforts us. It feeds us. It strengthens us. It gives us strength for each and every day, but it's also our protection. By the sword of the Spirit, by the word of God, we not just simply build ourselves up, but we defend ourselves. And also, we can go forward. We can make progress through the word of God. I say to you, Christian, let us not go out into our lives. Let us not take our steps in our Christian walk without first being armed. We have a greater than Goliath's sword. It is the word of God. Secondly, the word of God is a monument to God's power. Goliath's sword, as great as it was a monument to a victory that David had wrought himself by the power and by the grace of God. David had handled Goliath's sword, and it represented victory. It represented triumph. It was the means by which the great Goliath had been defeated. And so there it was, in the place and in the very dwellings of Ahimelech. And it was there as a monument. And so as David would think upon it, he would be reminded of what God had done. The word of God is not some, we might say, stagnant monument or a dead monument. It's a living monument. It continues to live and breathe and give life to souls. But it is a reminder of all that God has done and all that God will do. And so we look at it and we say there is none like it. Also, David knew how to handle Goliath's sword. Remember when he battled with Goliath beforehand, he was offered Saul's armor. And he came to confess he couldn't wear this because he hadn't proved it. But when it came to the victory, and after the slingshot was achieved and Goliath was on the ground, he could take up the sword of Goliath and wield it to a place of victory. He had handled it. If David could handle the enemy's sword and know a victory through it, how much more as Christians do we take up the sword of the Spirit, that which is given to us of God? We are to be comfortable with it. We are to know how to handle the word of God, to employ its promises, to use its scriptures, to know what the word of God is, to make a thorough and diligent study of it, to show ourselves approved unto God. And then lastly, the word of God is incomparable. David said, there is none like it. When we survey all of the writings of men and all of the best-selling books which there have ever been, what are these books amongst when compared to the very word of God itself? Is this not the cry which comes from our heart? We look at this wonderful word of God and we say, there is none like it. And it generates and creates a cry within our hearts very similar to David, where we say, give it to me. O Lord, give us day by day your daily bread. There is none like it.